morning, everyone, and welcome. This is The Morning Drive. My name is Donna Todd Rivers. You're watching us on PCTV channel 1301 on your Spectrum dial. You're also listening to us at WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. And you can always catch up with this morning show or any other Morning Drive shows on pittsfieldtv.org. I'm really excited about this show this morning. As many of you are starting to understand, I'm a real history buff, whether it be local history, regional or county history. And with me today is some folks from the Berkshire Family History Association. With me is their president, Jan Roget, and their vice president, Angela Rifkin. Hello, ladies. How are you this morning?
Very well. And thank you, Donna, for having us.
I am so incredibly excited to bring this to my listeners and my viewers. Because I think you're part of you is a little bit of a well-kept secret, and we're going to try to change a little of that, I think, right? Because when I came across you, I was like, oh my God, this is magnificent. Like, I was just so excited that this resource was out there. So I guess maybe we'll start with you, Jan, but what is the Berkshire Family History Association and how did it all get started?
Well, essentially, it's a group of people interested in family history, genealogy. It started actually back in 1975, a couple of notes here, with just a small group of people, I think 30 people or so, that decided they wanted to get together and support one another in their research of their families. So that was in 1975 in the spring, and just a couple of months later, they were up to 120 members. So it was fast growing. The interest in such things was enormous. Arthur Alex Haley's Roots book may have played into some of that interest. So then in a couple of years later, 1977, a subgroup was formed and disbanded. And in 1979, they had their fourth annual meeting. And at that time, they formalized what they would be as an organization. They elected officers, directors, and really expanded their scope. Then in the early 80s, they changed the name to the Berkshire Family History Association, which is what we are now known as. And it's just an educational and social organization to promote the research and study of our families. And we're focused largely on Berkshire County, but have access to records and information from the surrounding areas. So basically that's how we started. And this is where we are today.
And, you know, it's a pretty amazing history about how it kind of came together. How many members do you currently have, or how many people sort of use their services?
Well, the membership varies. It's gone down a little since COVID. I think we have about 150 now, Angela, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
And the memberships are the main income for our group. We collect membership dues, lots of donations. And with that money, which was the original intent of the group that started, was to raise funds and provide it to the local history department of the Berkshire Athenaeum. So the link between Berkshire Family History and the local history department of the Berkshire Athenaeum is strong. It's the main connection. It's like we work for each other. So that's, add anything to that, Angela? The other thing we do is let people have access to the holdings of the local history department, because some of our members live far away.
Right.
They have interests in Berkshire roots. So Angela will explain that more thoroughly, I believe, about the research we do for our distant members.
So all your members don't have to be local. So I think that's incredibly important, because someone has a history in the Berkshires, and although they've moved away, but they want to, their family started in the Berkshires or has lived for a period of time in Pittsfield, they can use your association to help research some of that.
Correct. And there is a process by which they can request that. And I believe Angela's planning to explain that in more detail in a minute or two. Might not be a good time now.
So Angela, why don't we talk a little bit about that? Then I want to really learn how you ladies even originally got interested in all of this. Angela, if somebody is, wants help and they're, in a distance, how do they get your help to research their family?
How did How did they reach us? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. How would they be able to reach out to you and have you help?
Oh, well, we have a website, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But we have an address, Jen. Did you give them the address? Did you get that?
Oh, no, the website, the www.BerkshireFamilyHistory.org.
Yeah.
So it's www.BerkshireFamilyHistory.org.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So ladies, why don't I ask you, Angela, how did you end up first getting involved in all of this? Why did you join? Ooh, I like that. That means you have an interesting story.
A long story. Okay. Two ways. I grew up with a lovely Irish grandmother whom I knew a little about, but not a lot. And she was very special to me. And over the years, I got bits and pieces and odds and ends about her life. But I didn't get a lot. There were a lot of errors and misspellings. So somewhere along the way, I received a document. It wasn't really a document. It was one of those old yellow scraps of paper that came out of the history of my family. And it had information about her. And I wanted to learn more. So I began going into where she lived, how she lived, what her life was like. And the more I looked, the more interested I became in what she had accomplished under some rather difficult circumstances. Mm. So she's been a very special person in my life. And she got me started and looking into other members of the family. By the way, I'm still looking for an elusive grandfather. He's buried someplace, but we can't quite find him, but that happens a lot. And so we begin looking in the connections we have with history and our past. Mm. And because she was so special to me, I feel even closer to her now that I know so much about her history.
And
so that's what
story.
Started me out in this. And then I started researching and volunteering and learning more about it. Although I don't have roots in Berkshire County, I have discovered that this is a fabulous place for so much history that I'm engaged with it on a regular basis.
No, so it's true.
That's my story.
Yeah, that's a lot. You know, there's a lot of history in the Berkshires. There truly is. What I love about your story, Angela, is how researching the history of, you know, our relatives and our family brings us closer together to them.
Yes.
We become closer. We understand them and we start to understand our own story. Do you know, we understand how our parents were affected and how we became who we are, right?
Well, we become connected to our past.
Yeah.
These days, we live so much in the present. It's today, today, today. But we do have, every one of us has an enormous amount of history. Mm-hmm. And it connects us to those days and those people. And I think that part of that problem is that when we were young, we neglected to talk to the older people in our homes. And we never asked them questions. Where are you? What did you do? Where did you come from? We were too busy being kids and doing kids stuff. So I think we let valuable information slip through our fingers. So one of the things that we always recommend to people today, talk to any older relatives you may have. Find out what their lives were like, where they went, with what they did, and share with them that information about other relatives as well. So it connects us to our past. Would you agree with that, Jen?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. My story of beginning to be interested in family history was in the early 90s, and it came about in a very odd way. My daughter at that time was in middle school and she needed to go to the public library to do some research. So while she was doing her research, I just poked around and looked at things and I saw a man sitting at one of the tables, and he had in front of him an enormous book, which turned out to be newspapers. It turned out that they were binding and putting in their collection newspapers of our area. So just as I was noticing what he had, he said to the librarian, "I'm finished with this now. You can put it away." And I said, "Oh, I think I'll look at it for a while if that's okay." So I'm flipping through the pages, and it was the newspapers were from the 50s, the late 50s. And a little tiny article in the lower corner of a page jumped out at me, and it had my father's name in the headline. Now, my father died when I was 11 years old, so I don't have many memories of him. It was also a situation where, as Angela said, well, people don't really, you don't ask the right questions, or people don't want to answer your questions. Mm-hmm. And as a child, I certainly couldn't formulate questions that would give me anything that I would understand. Mm-hmm. So I made a copy of that. I don't know how I did it, photocopy. I didn't have a phone to click a picture. And the headline was something about something was going to be decided in court the next day. Well, that led me from one newspaper to another newspaper to another newspaper, and the whole story was told over several weeks. And it was just such an eye-opening thing for me, because in our family, and I suppose many, especially in those times, you didn't talk ill of the deceased. You know, you didn't say anything negative. They were gone to their grave as saints in our eyes. But it made me feel so connected, to use Angela's word, connected to this father that I had lost so many years before. So that started my interest in family history in general. And one of my favorite resources to this day are newspapers. Are available online now, many of them, and they're certainly filled with errors. As we all know, we see that in modern day papers. Mm-hmm. But they give you so many clues and so much information and so many connections. So basically, that's where my interest in family history started, with a very personal connection to something in my father's life.
I think what really touches me to listen to both of you ladies is how much connecting with other family members' histories affected you in such a positive way.
Yes.
You know, it's healing. It brings you understanding maybe of parts of your life that you don't quite know, or kind of fills in the gaps, right? It fills in the gaps. Is that, so if someone said to you, why should I do this? Like, why would I do this? What would you tell them? Why should people research their history?
Well, I think, go ahead, Angela. You go first, Angela. You're fine. Go ahead.
Why would you do that? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Well, again, we live very much, as I said earlier, we live very much in the present. And we forget that we have a long history with families and extended families. And they give us an idea of what life was like for these families back in the early centuries, 18th, 19th century. We don't realize how different their lives were compared to our modern lives. Mm-hmm. And the things that we take for granted today were not available for those people living then. There were tough times, hard times, difficult times. People moved around a lot. There were economic difficulties. We forget that they went through some difficult days, but yet survived and gave their family a life and shared it with others as they went along. And we are the recipients of that history. And we've learned so much about them that it gladdens our hearts, because we recognize those connections go on for years and years. So, Jen, would you agree with that?
I love it, Angela.
Yeah,
I would. And if someone asked me why they should do this, I think it would be because you are curious about something. It may be one thing, like with me, it was my father. So something in your family history that you have a little knowledge about might be just tucked away somewhere in your heart and mind.
Yes.
And at
Yes.
some point you decide, I got to find out more about this.
That's
And
right.
so that is what I would say. Also,
Yeah.
I would caution them that not everything online is accurate, that sometimes genealogical research is hard work. It's not just fun, like, oh, I found this, I found that. There's ways you need to organize your information, preserve your information, and it can become quite scholarly in some sense. If you're just looking for interesting tidbits about your family, I could have stopped with the information about my father, but it prompted me to want to know more. So it all depends on a person's personal interest and what they hope to accomplish digging into their family's history.
Yeah.
It's almost like almost like an onion, right? Peeling back the layers, if you will. If you are
well,
if you're just joining us right now,
okay.
You are listening to The Morning Drive right here at WTBR, Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 FM. You're also watching us on PCTV, channel 1301 on your Spectrum dial. I'm talking to two really incredibly fun ladies, knowledgeable. They are sharing their work at the Berkshire Family History Association. With me is the BFHA president, Jan Rogge, and their vice president, Angel Rifkin. And we're talking about Berkshire family history and why people would research their history and the work that this association is doing. So, Angela, you were about to say something before I had to do our intro.
Yeah, I'd like to talk a little bit about what we have at the Berkshire Family History Local History Department. Yes,
let's do it.
Let's, because it's a very rich archive. Some of the archival material which we use for member research, there are over 25,000 volumes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Volumes that include town, county, and family histories. We have major genealogical and historical reference material from Berkshire County and the abutting states, Vermont, Connecticut, and New York. You know, we're right at those crossroads, crossroads there. We also recognize that people migrated between those states. They may have been born in, let's say, Berkshire County, but somewhere along the way moved to Vermont and settled there and may even have died there. So the records now are in two different states, Berkshire County and Massachusetts and Vermont. So we have access to some of those records as well. We have vital records for the towns within Berkshire County from 1850. These records include birth, marriage, and deaths. We also have church and cemetery records. And in a little while, I'm going to talk about that when we talk about our newsletter. We also, and this goes back to you, Jan, newspapers. We have newspapers on microfilm. We have the Berkshire Eagle from 1855. We have the Pittsfield Sun from 1800 to 1906. We have the North Adams Transcript, 1844 to 1895. And those newspapers, Jan, I know they're special treats for you, as we well know. You have found marvelous things there. I mean, they're wonderful. You get wedding announcements and what the bride wore at her church wedding. And they're just enhancing and enriching the stories from our past. We also have special collections. One is the Shepherd, which contain family group records from 1550. Imagine going back to 1550. Mm-hmm. How that was acquired is a marvelous story, but the fact that we have it is wonderful. We have another collection called the Neuro, K-N-E-U-R-O-W. There are scrapbooks within that collection. Also, military information. We have probate records, which are very useful in locating the properties where our Berkshire ancestors lived. We have tax records. We also have very large historical maps showing boundary changes over the years. and I go back to that boundary between Berkshire County, Vermont, and New York, those boundaries sometimes changed. They were originally created back when boundaries were just a dirt road between point A and point B. Later surveys decided that the boundary should be either further north or south or east or west. So those boundaries become apparent to us when we look at the maps. I just wanted to quickly talk about something that was a gift. Some people may remember a facility on Dan Fox Drive called National Archives and Record Administration. And that had shut down. But that organization had over 1,000 reels of microfilm, which were then sent over to the Berkshire Athenaeums. Now, some of these records are microfilm records are remarkable, and they would be difficult to access if not available here at the library. An example, we have on microfilm from NARA, the American Revolutionary War Service and pension applications. It turns out that there were a number of Berkshire men who served in the American Revolution and subsequently filed for pension. They are a rich treasure trove of information. They found out where they lived, who their neighbors were, the companies they served under, their commanders. So much family information is available. So if you had an ancestor who may have served in the American Revolution, that's a real find for that microfilm. We also have in our local history department on YouTube channel, and Jan will be talking about that in a little bit later. But we have a lead researcher named Margaret Roddy, and she did a tour of the local history, a video tour of the local history. So you can follow her as she points out the shelves, what's there, what's around. She'll take you on a virtual tour of the equipment that's there. And she will discuss the resources available. So there's a lot of information at that local history department. Genealogists have often regarded the Berkshires as a gateway area for New England families moving west in the 18th and 19th centuries. Some would spend only a few years here before moving west while others settled here. Many folks passed through this area, leaving records of their life here, giving us the historical information. So that's just a brief idea of the information and resources that are available.
I'm so glad you shared all that with me. I think I'm actually sort of, I guess, amazed. Right.
Yeah. I think most people are.
Right. The depth of it. I can remember as a young girl in ninth grade, and this goes back many years, obviously, having to do research in local history room. And I loved doing the microfiche. That was like my favorite thing. And I would go in there and just look at stories and go through the old newspapers through microfiche. And I think that's really where my love of history started, was just kind of knowing that local history was there. But I've never taken the time. And I have a lot of questions, Angela and Jan, just like you did about certain members of my family. Mm-hmm. I've never really taken the time, but you have intrigued me. And I'm hoping that those who are listening and watching were tickling their interest to do a little bit. We have about 5 minutes before we go to the top of the hour. But if someone is not comfortable doing research, you know, like Jan said, it can be a scholarly pursuit, right? And it can be a little overwhelming, like, where do I go next? Is there any research that you do for your members? Is there people to help?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Oh, good.
Okay. When you become a member of Berkshire Family History, that membership entitles you to 2 free hours of research. And what that does is asks you, the member, to submit a name or combination of names. And the information you're looking for such as, I'm looking for great-great-grandpa. I think he lived in Pittsfield, but I'm not sure. He moved and he might be living in Cheshire. And they'll give the name and the approximate dates. They submit that request, and then we use those archives that I just spoke about to look for any references to those that name that the member submits. And when we get that information, we make copies of it because we document it. And that's a very important concept, documenting. And I think we should all talk about that a bit when we have time. So when they document it, we then send it to them with the information that they asked, and that satisfies them until they come up with another question, which we are happy to look at. Jen, I know I want to catch me on the time there, Donna, but I want to talk about documentation. Jen, this is an issue. I'll briefly talk about it, and I think we should, don't you?
Yes, exactly. One common error beginners make, and even advanced researchers make, including myself, is you find a piece of information, it's very exciting, and you add it to your family tree information, but you don't write down where you found that information.
Oh.
You need always to keep in mind, you can go the route of, you know, perfectly punctuated footnotes and bibliographies like we had to do in school, or just keep in mind your reference, your documentation should ask yourself this question: would someone after me be able to go back to the information I found?
Oh. Okay.
Give them enough information, what it was, where it was, and so on. Sometimes too, like I know in my own collection, there are notes that say this was told to me by Aunt Peg in 1982 mm-hmm. or whatever. And just that's where I got it from. It's not going to help anybody get back to her, but they're going to know where I'm coming from. So that kind of documentation and citing your sources is really, really important, as Angela pointed out.
Yeah, and we make sure that we send the copies of that documentation to the person who requested it, so that if they want to post that on a family tree, we know it comes from the correct source. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff out there that people are putting on, and I have to use the word, the internet and Ancestry, mm-hmm. and it's not always correct. And I'll leave it at that. Yes.
Well, I can see where the research is so important to document too. So even if you could go back, if you're doing research, so you can go back and say, okay, where did I find this again? And maybe it'll lead you somewhere else. If you're just joining me right now, you are listening to Morning Drive. My name is Donna Todd Rivers. I've been with you for about 30 minutes. You've been listening to us at 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. You've also been watching us on Pittsfield TV. That's PCTV channel 1301 on your Spectrum dial. If you did not catch the first half of this show, I am going to strongly encourage you to take a moment, go to pittsfieldtv.org at your pleasure and leisure. Look up the Morning Drive shows. You'll be able to catch this show. This show is a really fascinating one. I hope you'll join me for the next half of the show. We are talking to the Berkshire Family History Association and talking about all the resources we have right here in Berkshire County, in Pittsfield, at the Berkshire Anthonyum, and with this wonderful association to research our family history. I'll be right back because we're at the top of the hour.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at sondrini.com. And from Park Square Productions. Park Square Productions provides high-quality video and audio productions for businesses and nonprofit organizations throughout the Berkshires. Find more information about Park Square Productions and what they can do for you at parksquareproductions.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
And hello and welcome back. Good morning. You are listening to the morning drive. My name is Donna Todd Rivers. I've been with you for about a half an hour, have about another 28 minutes left of this show. You're listening to us on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and you're also watching us on PCTV, that's Pittsfield Community Television, on channel 1301 on your Spectrum dial. Hopefully you've been able to be with me for the entire hour. If not, please, when you have an opportunity, get on pittsfieldtv.org and you can watch this entire show. I'm right now talking to the Berkshire Family History Association. With me is their president and their vice president. So their president is Jan Rogge. She is with us. And Angela Rifkin, she is the vice president. We've been talking about the rich archive of information that's available at the Berkshire Athenaeum and the local history department, and the work being done by the Berkshire Family History Association to not only support that department, but to assist its members and all of us in learning more about our family roots. So ladies, let's talk about the benefits of being a member and how that works.
Yes. Jan mentioned earlier that membership, there was a small fee of what is $15 a year, and that covers the 2 hours of free research, but it also gives the members access to our quarterly newsletter. Now, we have an editor, Michael Collins, who does a bang-up job with this wonderful newsletter. He writes informative historical pieces, and I'm going to show you some of them. And he uses the resources from our extensive files, and he takes jaunts around the county, and he discovers interesting hidden treasures. Some of the articles that we've had include a copy of a letter from one of our members that was sent to her family from William Cullen Bryant. We also have some documents that Michael wrote about the history of the Melville Room, which is at the Berkshire Athenaeum Local History Department right here. He also posts photographs and town histories, referencing the books available with links to the sites. He has found historical news items and went on a hunt for a cemetery cited in an old obituary. I'll show you a picture of the work. Now, I'm going to show it to you, even though I know you're on radio, but eventually somebody will probably see it on Berkshire TV. And this is what the head looks
nice.
Like.
Okay? Nice.
And inside, and I'll just briefly show this to you. He has pictures of some other businesses.
Yeah.
And he's done a piece on some rural cemeteries. And I know it's a little hard to see, but you'll press your magnifier. Now, rural cemeteries, that's interesting because they're lost and we are losing them. Why are they lost? Building sites, forest regrowth, and collapsed headstones. So Michael has photographed several rural cemeteries in Cheshire and North Adams. And we're fortunate to have his excellent work because once they disappear, they're gone.
Yeah.
And we'll never see them again. Mm-hmm. And Jan and I have done some work looking at cemeteries. And in fact, and I'll let Jan take this as well, we coincidentally discovered, Jan and I, that we both have ancestors from the same county in Ireland.
Wow.
Based upon, yes, we were destined to do this, right? And that that same county was discovered because Jan found a piece of what was that? The headstone that you scraped away some. Yeah, want to tell us about that, Jan?
That's right. I found the stone of a great grandmother, and part of it was grown in around the bottom, kind of had sunk into the dirt. And so, just on a whim, I thought I would just be cleaning grass. But there was another inscription at the base of the stone that wasn't visible until I cleaned it up, and it said native of County Carlow, Ireland.
Wow.
So to find the county where your Irish people came from is important, and I was really excited about that.
Yeah, and my grandmother that I spoke about earlier came from Carlow in Ireland. So Jan, who knows, maybe we're related.
I think we're cousins.
You bring up a really interesting point about the rural cemeteries and history being lost. And how important it is to preserve it. And Angela, you said something earlier that's sort of really circulating in my mind. You talked about we live so much in the present. And that might be why I have such a strong interest about history and Berkshire County history. And I'm trying to bring it through this show to my listeners and my viewers. But I think that's a point. Like, we're so present in our lives, like at what point our lives are going to become history, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So how do we preserve our life now? Do you ever think about that? Like, does the archive, everyone thinks about it being old, but at some point our information, it's going to be the history.
Okay. Jan and I do extensive research, and we put booklets and loose leaf folders and all kinds of information together. And we hope that our children and grandchildren will care enough to look at it and but we've made it available for them. Mm. As we are now looking for our ancestors, where very little was made available to us. I think I may have mentioned this to you, how important it is for us to talk to our aging relatives who may be leaving us within a short period of time. Mm. Find out what their lives were like, what they did, where they went, so that we now can take that information and pass it on to the next couple of generations. Also, so that's the way it's done right now, Jen?
Yes, also it's advised to people of our generation or any age, who knows how long your life will be, that you capture some of your stories about you. Yes. And you can just scribble them in a notebook. You can, however you choose to do it, you should leave something of yourself story-wise behind. Which makes me think of, to go back to the website for a moment, there is a link on our website where you can share your stories. And we have a few stories posted there now, which are very interesting. But my hope is that as time goes on, that part of our website will gain some traction. Mm-hmm. And for people to understand that they don't have to have perfect spelling or they're punctuate, whatever. It's just get that story out there. And one place to get it out there is on our website. Pictures that go with your story. I have one, there's one story there now that I love. It's called If These Teacups Could Talk. And the person included a picture of his special teacup of his grandmother's and wrote a short story about what she was like and what she meant to him. So that's another way to start making things about ourselves to future people. Also, to go back to Angela, to the newsletter.
Yes.
I need to talk about the website because that's where you access the newsletter.
Sure. Before I finish up with the newsletter, I just wanted to add a small piece. All our previous issues are available to the members online. So if they want to recall something that happened, an issue that they remembered reading maybe a couple of years ago, being a member, they can access those old issues. Yes?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is a benefit of membership.
It's a benefit of membership, yes.
Portal that we change the password every January, every member gets the new password and can access, as Angela said, all the past issues of the Family Historian.
Yeah. So, Yeah, we have a website. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
And let me get you the address. www.berkshirefamilyhistory.org.
That is also where you will find our YouTube channel.
Yes. It kind of gives what we're just talking about in terms of who we are, where we are, and what information is available. It also makes it very simple where they can make purchases online. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But you can also become a member online, fill out a form, credit card, very easy. Just zap it through. You'll receive confirmation. Once you're confirmed, you'll get your password. And then you can get onto the newsletter and other history. Jan, we also can sell some of our publications. Is that correct?
Well, that's kind of a work in progress.
Okay.
And our intention is to make more easily available to the public. You don't have to be a member. Some like a PDF of a previously published piece. For many, many years, the newsletter of the Berkshire Family History Association was called the Berkshire Genealogist.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And it was sent out 4 times a year. And that continued for many, many years. And there is an all name index to that whole set of publications. So that's quite useful.
So, Jan, as I'm listening to you, when you mentioned the Berkshire Genealogist, do we have collections by family name? Like if someone had a surname, Smith, Jones, for me, it's Guzzo. That's my family, my mother's side. If I gave you that last name, is there sorry already history maybe being done? Would I know if there's other members or other people researching that name, for example?
Well, if they have come through us for their research,
okay,
file away their research. So if you ask us for a certain name, mm-hmm. we'll first go to those files and see, did anybody else already research this family?
Okay.
And if we do find something, we'll let you know that. And that's great when that happens. There are published genealogies of various families. So if you happen to be one of those families, we might find something in a published book about your ancestors. But that's probably... Oh, and the other part of it is that people just donate to the library their work. Like they don't know what to do with it. They're end of their, they don't want to do it anymore. They're too old or whatever. Some of that gets donated to the library, and that's accessible to check. So
that's really, I think, a really good point that I'm sure there's a lot of people that have missing pieces. So does the library, there is a place for people to say, I've done this much research. I know this much. And this whole conversation brings me to a point that I had probably 2 months ago. Now I had this incredible conversation with Joe Jerwin, who is a home historian here in the Berkshires. Mm-hmm. And as we were talking about the histories of houses, and we talked about, there's certain names that we know in the Berkshires, the Bartletts and, the Wendells and the, Holmes. And there's certain names that like, we know they're historic to our community and to our town, but it's the history of the everyday people that has a lot of value too. Those of us who have come through and made contributions or even how we've just lived a very simple, common life in a certain period of time within our home, within our community. So everyone's story has some importance and some significance to putting the whole picture together. So it just doesn't have to be, those names that we see on the street signs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that most of us probably have connections to. The ordinary guy, somebody who might have been a gardener for Oliver Wendell Holmes, or those are our people.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And those histories are so important because, all of us make community, right? Each and one of us. Our ancestors, us, and the generations to come. That's what we're community. So our stories are part of that bigger story. If you're just joining me right now, and hopefully you're going to stay with me for the next 15 minutes. You are listening to Morning Drive. My name is Donna Todd Rivers, and I have been having this extraordinarily interesting conversation with the president and vice president of the Berkshire Family History Association. With me today is Jan Rogge. She is the president, and Angela Rifkin, who is the vice president. And we've been just talking about the Berkshire Family History Association, the work that it does, how to become a member, and really the importance of capturing our history and just the thrill of it. Angela and Jan both shared at the beginning of the show just how it made them closer to their history and answer some of those questions that sometimes we all have about our ancestry and our families. But I do want to, you keep mentioning the YouTube channel, and I need to know about that because we're talking about archives in a library and local history. And now we're going all the way to a website and a newsletter. Now we're YouTube. We're like way over here in technology. So tell me about the YouTube channel. That's fascinating.
Yeah. We have really attempted to, I want to say, modernize Berkshire Family History Association. For 32 years, the president of the organization was Don Lutz Jr. Marvelous man, did so much for the organization. His home was where everything was placed. All of our equipment, all of our paperwork, computers were at his home. He's lived alone, and this was his life. So when he passed and it became our responsibility to figure out now what, we had to go to his home, and we weeded through things, could not figure out some of his very intricate methods of keeping track of information. So over time, we came to our way of doing it, and we will be forever grateful to Don for all he did. Actually, on the YouTube channel, which I'll tell you how to access, there's a short video where you can meet Don and get a sense of who he was and what he was like. But if you go to our website, there's tabs across the top. And if you click on resources, one of the drop down things in that menu will be our YouTube channel. And you just click there and you'll see the videos that we have there. And as Angela said earlier, a really important one to look at is the tour of the local history department. It gives you a greater sense of what's there. Some people walk in, walk out. It's just kind of be overwhelming. And she gives a wonderful tour of that. So I encourage everyone to check it out, listen to some of our guests talk, and enjoy it. It's one of
Jan, again, let's connect that to our Pittsfield Community TV. About 2 years ago, we contracted with Pittsfield Community TV to present programs with local historians, people who had history in the various communities. We discovered an awful lot of people know a great deal of history here. It was a real find for us. So we would do a half hour program for Pittsfield Community TV, inviting guests who, as I said, have either published or just chatted or talked about history of their own families and what kind of work they've done in researching those families. Those programs at Pittsfield TV are not only in Pittsfield TV's itinerary and program schedules, but are on our YouTube channel.
Oh, good.
So people can plug into our YouTube channel and find the programs that we did for Pittsfield Community TV.
It was quite a modern experience for us. It was a real risk. It was really a lot of learning involved, some discomfort, some imperfections. But all in all, I think it was a good step for us to have taken.
Yeah, PCTV is such an amazing resource.
Yes,
in our community. It truly is. I started with PCTV shows probably over a decade ago, at least. And it's just a nice way to bring people together, share the stories that are happening in our community. That's why this is so important to me, Morning Drive, because not only is it on WTBR 89.7 FM, people listening to us on the radio, but people can also see us on PCTV. And this show, as many others, will be archived. And that, again, is part of, right, we're all building our history. We're all building resources, right? You're building resources for other people after us to come in and say, oh, Angela and Jan did that. You know, they did that. They talked about that or they brought somebody in. So I think the work you're doing, the value of the work that you're doing, is incredible, and I don't want people to take it lightly, because I think for people like yourselves, but for people like yourselves, there's so much that would be lost in organizations like yourself. There would be no place to go to share this common bond and to sort of develop of like who we are and what we've done in our community. So I don't want that. I don't want to end the show without saying that to both of you. Yes. And to those of you that are a part of the association.
Yes. Our pleasure.
Yeah. And the other, although we are based at the local history room, we encourage the community to come in, just walk in. There are staff people there that will help them get started, or to point them in directions, or advise them that they could become members of Berkshire Family History. So it's a community resource that might not get enough attention. Mm. But we are trying to get people to just walk in, take a look, see what's there. Hey, folks, it's your library. Use it. So
that's one of the reasons I sort of hounded you ladies to do this show, because I really think that's such an incredible resource. And I have my own memories, even as a young girl, as I was sharing with you earlier, about going in there and just, I had to be honest with you, it can suck you in. Like you can, right?
Absolutely.
Right? You both know this is true.
Absolutely.
You can go in there and flip one magazine, then leads you to another. And then, or you may, you know, just arbitrarily pick up a newspaper volume, right, Jan? Open it up and you may see, well, Jan got lucky. She saw a story about her own family. But you may see a story that just intrigues you.
Yes.
Right? Or, like a picture of, like the history of England Brothers, I think would be incredibly interesting.
Yeah. We have pictures of high school graduations and proms.
Wow.
Imagine that. Yeah. Isn't that exciting? That
it is.
Back? We also have files on some of the manufacturing businesses of Berkshire County. GE, of course, was one of the biggest. And we have files that give information about what they did there with photographs. So when our wonderful editor uses that material, a member might say, oh, that's my grandpa who worked at GE. Mm. And it's a lovely, lovely piece of history to offer people.
And the local history department has a collection of the complete collection of the General Electric log, was it called? It was the company newsletter to its employees, and they have all of them. So if you have anybody who ever worked at GE, they're likely to find something there.
Yeah. There's so much. We don't recognize how much is there. But when you start peeling away the layers, we often say genealogy is like an onion. You just peel away layers and you get deeper and deeper into the core. It becomes fascinating. And I think for people like Jan and ourselves, we get a little addicted sometimes.
Oh, I can see it. I can totally see it.
You start looking at files and you keep saying, I'll just do it a half hour. Well, 3 hours later, you're still there.
Good luck with that.
Right? But it is. It's so incredibly fascinating. And just, you were talking about Michael and the work that he was doing on the newsletter. I mean, that's endless too, right? It's like throwing a dart. Like, where do you, there's so much to cover. Mm-hmm. It's families and buildings and businesses and, you know,
yes,
it's overwhelming, and in a good sense, like in a really good, fascinating kind of, you know, sense. It's really just, it's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, we think it's wonderful. And as I said, you sometimes when you get started on it, you just start digging and digging. Oh, let me look here and let me look there. And the resources of the local history department are so vast that you'll find something there if you're a Berkshire County resident. Yes.
So Angela and Jan, what is your vision for Berkshire Family History Association in 5 years from now? Do you have sort of a sense of what you want it to look like, what do you want it to look like? Or what do you sort of think it could be?
I would hope that we could increase our membership.
Okay.
I would hope that we could offer programming, which is something that was done pre-COVID. And then during COVID, and then after COVID, people still were hesitant to gather in groups or whatever. So that would be a nice thing for us to do, although not essential. And we just hope to continue to, you know, find services. I mean, do research for people. We do some outreach. I'm going to go to a conference in Connecticut in October where we'll have a table and be a presence there and spread the word that we exist. That's really helpful. What's your vision, also, Angela?
Yeah, okay. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Also, we would like to send the message out that if you're at all interested in doing any genealogy or just have a flicker of thought, consider volunteering. Yes, we are all volunteers at Berkshire Family History. There are no paid people here. We're all volunteers. And we'd always welcome more volunteers to learn how to do research and become interested in spreading the word about the history of Berkshire County.
I love that. Do you agree?
Yeah.
I love that. And I have a few minutes left. And the question I want to ask you is for the folks listening out there who, you know, have an elderly, maybe loved one or starting to do their history. Do we keep our family history in a box and sort of try to pass it to a niece, nephew, brother, sister who says, okay, I'll take it? Or do we donate it to local libraries? Because I'm sure room is an issue, right? Storage is an issue. So how do we preserve it for ourselves and also make it available for the public if there's someone looking for it? Like, how do we make that connect?
Yeah. Jan, I think that's something you do. Yes.
Yeah, I've discovered that for many people who are not genealogically minded or computer interested, I find I'm creating notebooks. And in the notebooks, I do them by family. You think of a notebook as a house. And that house includes the couple that's married and all their children while those children are still living in that house. But anyway, you can sit with one of my binders and by flipping through, you can read the history of that family. And it's tangible, it's paper, it's interesting to people who don't particularly want to get into all the, you know, the people that, Angela, that roll their eyes when you start talking about your family. People prefer to see something visual. So that's just a little thing I'm doing with my own research that hopefully will be more likely to be passed on than my computer database that people would have to learn how to read. So that's my hope. And your hope always is to find someone in your family with a glimmer of interest. I have one nephew who shows some interest in family history. So I'm kind of counting on him.
Well, I think this was going to happen, but I have to tell you, we only have about a minute left. I have to tell you, ladies, that this conversation has totally reunited this sort of ember that's been in my heart for a very, very long time to do this. And I haven't made the time, to be honest with you, obviously I haven't made the effort, but you know, every time I have one of these conversations, it brings up all those questions. So I want to take Jan's suggestion and maybe to kind of reinforce that as my last comment is for people to start putting together their history like in a notebook. I think that's a great idea, right? If you hand wrote it and said, you know, I married your dad and blah, blah, blah. We met here. You know, this is what I remember about him. This is what I remember about the day you were born. Just anything, right? Just to kind of organize things. So if you're out there listening, maybe that's where you start. And if you want to know more information about your family, well, these are the ladies to call, right? So quickly at the end of the show, Jan, can you just give us the website again?
www.berkshirefamilyhistory.org.
Terrific. Well, Jan and Angela, I have had the greatest time talking to the two of you. I hope our listeners and viewers have appreciated it as well. I want to thank you for the work you do on behalf of Berkshire families and our Berkshire history, because without folks like you, so much would be lost. So everyone, thank you so much for joining me today. You've been listening to The Morning Drive on WTBR, Pittsfield Community Radio, and watching us on Pittsfield's TV, channel 1301 on your spectrum dial. Be safe, be well. Looking forward to chatting with you again. And Jan and Angela, thank you again. Till next time.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.